if you could build a business in the modern world as big or as small as you want without having to compromise the things that were the most important to you in the very beginning? This is the Wealthy Consultant Talks podcast with Taylor Welch and Mike Walker, as they share with you today their learning lessons from stories in their experiences over the past 10 to 15 years and share with you right here, right now. Let's get into it.
All right. What is going on, my friends? Mike Walker here, another episode of TWC Talks podcast. Excited to be with you today. I have a very special guest with me today, actually. One of our internal team, one of our secret weapons, if you will, inside here of the Wealthy Consultant, Kathy Jones. How are you this morning? Thank you for joining me.
I am good. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm fantastic. And I know, and I've been excited about, kind of breaching this topic with you here, because I know it's really going to help our listeners here. For those of you that don't know Kathy, she runs our support team. She actually does a lot of different things. She's kind of a, like I said, a secret weapon, a Swiss Army knife, if you will, here at the Wealthy Consultant. But one of the biggest things that she does for us is help manage our support teams. And those support teams, most of them, if not all, are remote operators, typically from the Philippines. We'll get into all that, but we call them virtual assistant, whatever terminology. I think most people would be pretty familiar with the concept. And obviously there's a lot of pros and benefits to that, but there's also some things that can be pretty challenging. And that's what I want to talk about here is hiring and managing a rock star virtual assistant team. Kathy, you've done this exceptionally well here, and you've been doing it for quite a while. So I know there's a lot of insights and wisdom that we can pull from your brain. So thank you for sharing your wisdom today with us.
Of course.
Cool. So let's start from the top. Let's just give a quick little intro. How did you get involved with virtual teams? I know this, you have an entire agency that does nothing but that. So maybe talk about that a little bit first, just to set the foundation for what we're going to discuss.
So yeah, for me, the way that I got started in it was I was doing customer support under, you know, Traffic and Funnels with Taylor at that time. So it goes all the way back to about 4.5 years ago. And we started using virtual assistants because we were expanding the business. We were adding other businesses to it as well. And the role that I was doing, we needed to duplicate me over and over so that we could do it more and so that we could do it 24/7. Okay. So that's how we got started. That's how I got started with working with virtual assistants. And so when I started that, I taught them just the customer service piece first, because there was a very specific way that we wanted our customer service handled. And so then once I figured out what that took and that I could duplicate myself in that role, we were able to duplicate it all the way through every department of the business to the point that I built out a 20-person VA team.
Wow, 20 people. Okay. Phenomenal. 20 people. My goodness. Okay. And so to your point, those people would be working at different hours. So you're getting that full 24/7 coverage. Is that the thought?
Correct.
There?
Yeah. For our customer support team under one of the businesses, we had 24/7 customer support that we wanted to provide.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. So maybe for our listeners here, how do you know when you're ready? Let's go to the super basics. How do you know when you're ready? If you're just starting out, you've never had a virtual assistant before. It's not something you've ever done. Yeah. How do you know you're ready? And what are the first things you need to be maybe looking at to know and consider?
Yeah. I would say one of the ways that you consider that is when you find yourself, you're constantly working in the business. You're always busy doing something. You feel like a lot of the things that you're doing aren't true needle movers for the business to move forward. Maybe even you're finding that you don't really enjoy working in the business anymore. Also because you're doing all of the things that don't really provide you that much revenue. They don't give you energy, but they're things that have to still happen for the business. Like when you find yourself doing a lot of those kind of things, that's probably a great time to bring in a virtual assistant, especially because those are the first tasks that we want to pass off to a virtual assistant is what are the things that have to be done for the business? They don't give you energy and they don't provide a lot of revenue for the business, but they have to be done usually every day. Mm-hmm. Or at least frequently.
And now you run an agency now. How many virtual assistants does your agency consist of?
124.
124. My goodness. Okay. Amazing. And so no doubt you see a pretty broad spectrum of the different types of clients, that, you know, you're supporting, and then obviously the different roles that your virtual assistants are managing. Could you talk about that a little bit? Like, are there certain industries or types of businesses that seem to be a better fit than this, or is it just in any business at all?
Yeah, it's any business at all where you have those tasks that you know that you can, you know, that we can train and we can teach someone to do it, especially in a virtual setting, overseas, something like that. Like in any industry, it would work in.
Okay, so brick and mortar, online retail, coaching, consulting, service-based businesses, anything. Yeah,
especially brick and mortar. I have clients that are, they're chiropractors. They run chiropractor offices. But there's a lot of those back-end tasks that we've been able to go in and figure out that we can create efficient systems and processes, and I can teach a VA how to do it for them.
Amazing. Okay. So I think what I'd be really interested in knowing is, when you're onboarding all these wide variety of clients, do you see any common pitfalls or misconceptions that they have as they're onboarding into your services?
The biggest thing that I see is usually it's just the business owner or just a couple of people, and they haven't actually built out the systems and processes that you're using. So all of the information is in their head. So therefore they are the bottleneck of the business. And we have to extract that information so that we can actually teach it to virtual assistants. And then the common misconception that I see is, and I hear this over and over, you know, clients will say, well, I thought that should be common sense. And I have to explain to them, it's not common sense. You're asking someone to do something in your business. They typically don't always see and understand the whole nature of your business. They're doing tasks and different things like that. So when you're passing off just that, they understand that part. So when that part needs to feed into something else, they don't have all of the context usually to make that common sense decision. So their common sense decision is completely different from yours, but it doesn't mean that they don't have common sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Right. So they're literally only seeing a piece of that chain. They don't see the entire chain links as they all operate together.
Correct.
So that... Yeah, that's an important distinction. Got it.
And that's so, a big place where I have to help the VA team, because for me, I know, especially in the coaching and consulting world, I know and understand how all of those pieces go together. So usually what'll happen is if they get something, they'll come ask me and they're like, hey, they're wanting this, but when I did it, it wasn't right. I can look at the whole picture and I'm like, oh, okay, because they meant this. This is actually what they wanted you to do, and they can go fix it and keep going.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And I would imagine that every business obviously has its unique functions, and some of the tasks that they're looking for are going to be different than others. So I know this is what you do, but let's just say that someone doesn't have access to you and your agency, although they should. And if you guys are wondering, you should reach out to us. We can hook you up with Kathy. But let's just say it's just someone looking for their first virtual assistant. Where the heck do you start? I mean, you can't just like pick up the phone, right? So how does that all work?
It just depends. You can look on online job aids, you know, that have them. There are Facebook groups where you can go and you can find virtual assistants. It'll have people who are looking to be the employer, people who are also looking to be the VA. Those are very common. There's thousands and thousands of people in them. You can go there. And then, of course, there's lots of staffing agencies. There are VA staffing agencies that will staff you with one who they've kind of vetted and kind of know that they have some of the skills. That's not a fail-proof way of doing it. I have found it's just better to hire the VA, skills test them yourself, and just know that if you have a VA that coming new into your business, you're going to have more hands-on help with them if you don't have anybody else that already knows and has the knowledge for you.
Got it. And that was what I was going to mention too, is the fact that, yeah, they don't necessarily just step in and instantly off to the races they go, right? Like there's going to be a kind of a curation process, an education process to get them fully up to speed. Naturally, the better your systems are, the better your processes are, the quicker that will happen. Do you have any best practices for how do I get my virtual assistant to actually, you know, get up and running sooner than later? Like, how's that look?
For that, I mean, it's honestly, it's the more time that you can spend with them, like, this is the way that I did it in the very beginning. I spent all day in Zoom with them. As I'm working, they were right there with me. They heard me explain what I was doing and why I was doing it. And they took notes. We created, you know, SOPs for anything that there wasn't. Like, it's just the spending time with them. And if you can't do that part, like where you can just spend hours upon hours in Zoom, you have to be able to record videos. And even when you record your Loom videos or whatever they are that you're passing off to the VA, if you make a mistake in that video, don't stop it and re-record it to the point that you're giving it to them perfectly. Give it to them with your mistakes in it, because they get to see how they fixed your mistakes. And you're also explaining why. Mm. And that is one of the best training pieces they can get. That way, if they accidentally make the same mistake later, they've already seen how you fixed it.
I love that. Yeah, that's great. So it's not this perfectly curated set of videos or anything. It's like just real time. So when you're on Zoom with them, just to clarify, you're literally screen sharing with them all day, or, you know,
of course I don't have to do that now because those original 20 that I had before, they're part of my team and they're the very strong leaders within the team that I have. So they do more of that now. But yes, in the very beginning, that's exactly what I was doing. I was sharing my screen or they were sharing their screen.
Amazing. Yeah, I love that. And that's something that I know when I came into the on board with the team here at the Wealthy Consultant, I had never thought of the idea of having all the VAs on screen together throughout the day. And I know that's something that you have, right? Could you kind of talk about that, describe what that looks like a little bit?
Yeah. In our Zoom is open and it runs all the time. We have different breakout rooms. So those breakout rooms may be the client breakout room, because I have a client that has built out a whole team. So their team works together, like the Wealthy Consultant, that whole team is in one breakout room and they work together, and it just gives them a virtual office space. So if they need to share their screen, they can. If they need to unmute, they can. They're not just in Slack, slacking back and forth with each other. And then for me, it works because that whole 124 person team, say, like with us, it's different. Typically, when you hire just one VA, you get the skills that that one VA has. There's not really anybody else for them to ask and go to except for to you. For us, that's just one of the things we have found that works with having them in Zoom. If there's something they don't know how to do or they need help with it, they can just jump into a training room that I have or anything like that, and they help each other because maybe somebody else already has more experience or whatever.
And then I love that. And that's testament to what you've created and why the teams that you build are so powerful, is because of that synergy and that, it's a virtual office. Everybody's literally hanging out as though they're in an office together. It's pretty cool. It's something that was very new to me when I first saw it. And it's a really cool feature. And obviously we use it every day here at TWC. Let's use that to kind of spin off into the topic of, now, you know, once you've hired your VA, you've got them trained up, great. But how do you manage? How do you manage the expectations, the culture, the day-to-day operations? I mean, you're talking about someone literally on the other side of the planet. So naturally, there's cultural differences, there's time zone differences. Can you just speak to, like, how do we manage somebody that's literally on the other side of the planet?
Sure. The best way to manage, honestly, is with any VAs that I have within my team, I expect them to show up and to do the same thing that I do. And I'll tell you, if they don't meet your expectations, it's not a long drawn out process that you wait for them to get there. Like, it's not hard to show up to work every day, do your work quickly and efficiently. Like, as long as you know that you have provided them the tools that they need, that's the important part. You expect them to perform just like anyone else. Just because they're on the other side of the world, just because there are cultural differences, it doesn't mean that you treat them different. I tell my team all the time, they are just the same as I am. The only difference is I was born in the US, they were born in the Philippines. We are the same people. There may be some cultural differences, but those are just kind of things that you learn over time. But typically you're going to find, I would say, at least 95% of the VAs that you would ever hire that have worked for a US-based company before, they understand how to adapt to you. And that's what happens. Now, one of the big misses that I have found with people or clients that haven't had a good experience with a VA in the past is because they do try to be over accommodating. And they're like, oh yeah, I just need these tasks done. I don't care what time you do them. I don't care what hours you're working. Just work and just get them done. And that causes a lot of confusion, because they're going to work during their daytime hours when you say that. I can guarantee you that. So sure. Now if they have a question, there's going to be at least 12 to 16 hours in time gap from the time they ask their question, you answer them, they're coming back to working again. So like just in between every exchange, we have 12 to 16 hours, 2 or 3 days could go by before they actually have all of the information and you're both on the same page for what needs to happen. So I do always set the expectation and standard that the VAs that I have, they work during the times that their client is work, because you need to be able to communicate.
Amazing. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes total sense. I know, I think all of our VAs are in the Philippines. Is there a specific reason why, like why not other countries? Obviously there's other virtual assistants. So what was it about the Philippines that drew your focus?
For me, with the Philippines, you're going to find their culture is just naturally, they're very loyal. They're very pleasing. They want you to be happy. They want to do a good job. They want it to be right for you. But at the same time, that's also where you can lose a VA, if that makes sense, because if they feel like they're never doing anything right for you, because, you know, something's always wrong or whatever, that's where I always ask people to caution, like, is there a way that you can communicate it better? Because that's not their natural, who they naturally want to be. You know, so if they're constantly messing something up, there's probably a big miscommunication that's happening there. So for me, like that's what I love about it. Their customer service is usually great and on point. Usually I find that I have to dial that customer service back, as Taylor has said to me in the past, you know, please tell them they're not talking to the Queen of England. Like nobody
likes that.
Very over.
Like very proper emails. Yeah.
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 And those are one of the things that, you know, like even with that, like had he said that to them, like honestly, it would have just kind of hurt their feelings. But for me, I knew to take that and say, okay, this is what he said. This is what he means. So it's just like even understanding like how you, there are a little bit different ways that you have to talk to them, just so that you don't like scare them off. Because if they think they're just doing a horrible job for you and that they can't do anything right, I can almost guarantee you you'll have a VA that won't show up tomorrow.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So let's talk about compensation real quick as we start to wrap up here. Like as somebody, again, who's never hired a VA before and they never, you know, where do you even start? How do you know what's fair? Obviously, we always want to treat people properly and fairly. So how do we know how to base our pricing?
How you base it, I mean, honestly, is the standard, like if you look, like the standard, like entry level pay in the Philippines is, it's about 300 USD a month. And then if they're like a junior level person, you're running anywhere from about 400 to 500 USD, and then a senior level person, you're going to get them to 600 or 700 USD a month. When you start going over that, they should have very honed in, very extraordinary specific skills that they're able to provide. Like that's one, like they're handling all of your project management. You're giving very little direction. Those are the people where you're paying like over the $1,000. $1,000.
Right. And is that just because of the currency exchange? That, I mean, obviously $1,000 is not going to get you a whole lot in the United States or in Europe in terms of an employee. So is it purely just because of the exchange rate?
That's correct. That it's the exchange rate. The US dollar goes a lot farther there. I can give you an example of just from my experience in being over there and the difference. Like here, if you get an Uber for six people and you're going to go, 15, 20 miles, what do you think that would cost you, Mike?
I mean, I would typically say 50, 60 bucks minimum.
Exactly. Yeah, I would say and the average here would be about $50, $60 for an Uber for six people to go 15, 20 miles. Mm-hmm. When I was in the Philippines and I got a Grab, which is essentially an Uber here for six people to go 20 miles, it was $2.14.
My goodness.
USD. So that's the price. That's where you're looking at it. And that's what happens is a lot of times there's some VAs that I know I could get and I could train them and I have to have this conversation with them and I can train them the right way, but they're wanting to come in at super high salary rates that I know it should not be. And that's the case because they've worked for a US company before that thought, oh no, I got to pay this person at least $1,500 a month. Well, now they expect that, but they're not at that level to where they're going to perform at what a $1,500 a month VA, what I would expect them to perform at.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, having had the opportunity to work with you, you've been so instrumental in helping me get up to speed and pairing me with Shara, my executive assistant now, and she's just phenomenal. So, I mean, in terms of vouching for what you do, the people that you vet and bring in, train, get them up to speed, it's been phenomenal. Like literally like life-saving, honestly, just with the inbox monster, we call it, right? She's been great about that. Not only that, obviously, but many other things. But yeah, I would definitely, guys, for those listening, by all means, we'll put a link below here. Kathy, how do people get a hold of you if they want to learn more about your staffing services? Where do they go for that?
For our company, our website is rcfhagency.com. Okay. That's our website.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll put this below, guys. Take a look for that. If for any reason, if you're listening to this and you don't have a link available or you're driving or whatnot, just reach out to us and we'll gladly connect to you. She's phenomenal. Kathy here runs a great ship. And without question, having the team that she's assembled for us has allowed us to really fulfill on the promise of the exceptional experience that we want to deliver here at The Wealthy Consultant for LaunchKit clients, for our chamber members, Arena, everybody. It's all delivered because of this team that she's put together. So Kathy, thank you so much for the time, the insights that you shared today. And I'm excited. I know our team's going to keep growing. We don't have 120 over here at The Wealthy Consultant yet, but maybe one day as it continues to grow, we will, huh?
Yeah, one day. We just keep growing. That's how we scale. It helps us to scale faster and better.
For real. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome, guys. Well, have a blessed day. Again, Kathy, thank you so much. And I'll see you over in our Slack channels and Zoom breakout rooms.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much.
All right. See you guys. Have a great one.